Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand if you will. Such a privilege to gather with people that you can relate with, that has the same goals that you do. Amen. It's such a privilege. Let's bow our heads as we go before you in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, to be part of that family of God. Lord, we appreciate each one of our brothers and sisters this night. Lord, we're proud to gather with them in your precious name. Where two or three are gathered, in your holy name, there you will be. Lord, we're so thankful for that promise. Lord, each and every time we gather, Lord, we feel your Holy Spirit dealing with us. Lord, your word talking to us. Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, we just ask you now to come down into this service, Lord, and have your way. Everything that's said and done be for your glory only. And we'll give you all the glory and honor that's due unto you. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. He is so wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 668, in your only belief. Thinking of this little course today, since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Think what you was before. Amen. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy for my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Amen. What a blessing it is. Amen. To serving. Hallelujah. Amen. Page 672. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. Amen. I was on the Broadway of sin and despair, crushed 'neath my burden of sorrow and care. My constant companions were trouble and doubt, till Jesus reached down and lifted me out. Oh, he lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He set on my feet in the straight narrow way. He lifted me up to a heavenly place and flooded my soul each day. Savior and home, fainting and weary and sin I did roam. I needed a hand to turn me all about. Then Jesus reached down and he lifted me out. Oh, he lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He set on my feet in the straight, narrow way. He lifted me up to a heavenly place and flooded my soul each day with his grace. I was building my home on the dry, shifting sand, casting my lot in a cold, barren land. I heard Satan shout, but Jesus reached down and he lifted me out. Oh, he lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He set on my feet in the straight, narrow way. He lifted me up to a heavenly place and flooded my soul each day with his grace. I have started for heaven, my heart filled with song. Wandering is over, my sins all are gone. Through Jesus' own blood, cleansed within and without. Oh, praise his dear name, he lifted me out. Oh, he lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He set on my feet in the straight, narrow way. He lifted me up to a heavenly place and flooded my soul each day with his grace. Amen. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay. He set on my feet in the straight, narrow way. Oh, how thankful we ought to be. Amen. He lifted me up to a heavenly place. Hallelujah. Amen. And flooded my soul each day with his grace. Each day I can feel his grace. Amen. I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. If you're not quite as thankful as you think you ought to be, or you know you ought to, just think back where you was at. Just think of the rut you was in. But he lifted you out by his grace. Amen. So thankful. Hallelujah. Such a praise in my heart for what he's done. Amen. Page 228 in the same book. Amen. Hallelujah. But I still need him to hold my hand each every day. Lead and guide me by his Holy Spirit. Amen. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Oh, he leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this will be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Amen. Oh, I need thee every hour. Oh, through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy, thine and sing redemption song someday. Oh, I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, if I a crown of life have won. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. Amen. Listen, there's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Yes. The every hour. Oh, through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me as I kneel. I hope to meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Hallelujah, amen. Glory, amen. I know he'll meet me there, hallelujah, amen. Glory. like communion, friend with friend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a part of him. Hallelujah. So thankful. Amen. I'm so thankful for everything he's done for me. Just all his blessings in my life. You know, what if I hadn't gave my life to him? What if I'd have turned the other way? I'd have missed everything. All the joys. All the peace. Amen. I'm thankful for his grace. Hallelujah. That's all he can say is thank you for your grace, Lord. Amen. We all want to stand at this time. We'll take the knees. Amen. Anybody have a need upon their heart? Amen. We're so thankful, Lord. If we want to bow our heads, we'll ask Brother DeLong if he'd take the Brother Steve DeLong if he wants to take it.
Gracious Heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
Being a great privilege, Lord, to be able to come.
Yes.
Bow our heads and our hearts before you.
Cool.
Knowing, Father, that without your mercy and grace, we couldn't even ask. We couldn't even bring our needs before you. Lord Jesus, with that love you have for us.
Yes.
The precious salvation of yours. Change that soul. We can come, Lord, and open our hearts to you. Knowing, Lord, that you've already cleaned the heart and the thoughts and minds, and knowing your people only ask, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Lord, we ask that you would just take these needs tonight and present them to you. Maybe those that are sitting at home, wherever they may be, they have a desire and a need in their heart also.
Yes.
You're great enough, Lord, to get down each one of those homes.
Yes. Amen.
You're great enough, Lord, to be here with us also. So we ask, Lord, that you provide all these needs. And Father, may we glorify you.
Amen.
See these things will fill in our lives. May we not be ashamed, Lord, to say thank you and to tell others that you have done these things for us. So we appreciate this, Lord. Bless each one. Bless each one's heart and lives. Meet every need that they have need of. And meet the needs, Lord, they may not realize they have.
Yes.
Ask now that you do that for us. Father, again, we commit the rest of the service to your hands. Ask that you bless our brothers, your word. His heart, Lord, over our hearts. Father, just may we be in tune with your Holy Spirit. Pray now by the word of your Spirit. Ask this in your glorious, precious name. In the sweetest name I know.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. This time, we'll go ahead and ask our brother to come deliver what the Lord's laid on his heart.
Yes, amen.
We sing that little chorus, Jesus, Jesus, amen. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that. Master, Savior, Jesus.
Don't you love him? Amen. Glory to his name. Oh, there's just something about that name. Amen. Oh, he is so precious. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for another opportunity to come. And Lord, we may be few here tonight and few watching, Lord, but we just humbly ask, Lord, that you would bless your precious word to our heart. Lord, there's a reason that everything that you lay upon our hearts to bring, Lord, we bring it. And Lord, may we just take these few simple words, and Lord, may it some way strike our hearts a little greater. Lord, that we would draw a little closer to you, Lord, maybe have a little more faith in your precious word. And Lord, we just ask that you would guard our lips, Lord, that we would say nothing that would be out of line, but Lord, that your precious word only would be presented. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Amen. A chance to gather and come in and just thank him for his precious mercy and grace. While you're standing, I'm going to turn over to the book of 1 Kings and the 18th chapter, if you'd like to turn with me. Amen. Just a little bitty thought this evening and some scriptures to go with it, and we just ask God to open our hearts and may it strike us in a little special way. Amen. Just thinking about these things, and it's very simple, but when you dwell on God's word and you think of the messages that have been coming and all these things, how it just seems to grow greater in your heart. As you let God place it there and just ask him, say, Lord, show me the way. Amen. But here in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and we're just going to start here at the 20th verse and read a couple scriptures. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Amen. Just as a little situation that was happening here in the background is we realized God had sent a prophet to the land and realized that God had told him what to do, but these false prophets had rose up and slain the true men of God, and how they had turned the people's hearts away from God and his desires. And how at this time when Ahab had called them together, it was time of a showdown. And they'd gathered all their false prophets on one side, and God's prophet was standing there all alone on the other side. But what a thing he put to the people. How long will you halt between two opinions? And you know, as we look into precious God's word, God ordered this little book we call the Holy Bible, and he sent it here. And he made sure that everything got recorded just exactly the way he wanted it recorded. And this was his opinion of what he expected and what he knew would be in every age from the beginning to the end of today as we stand here today. And you know, God ever watches over his word. We know in Amos 3:7 it says that God will do nothing lest he shows it to his servants, the prophets, first. And just to establish a few things here, if you would like to, I'm going to read quite a few scriptures. And if you want to follow along, you can. But I'm going to go to Hebrews, the first chapter and the first to the third verse, and read something here that Paul wrote, very familiar. And it says, first verse of the first chapter of Hebrews, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, and who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sin and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And as we stop to think about that, I'd like to turn over to John, the first chapter. And so we've mentioned a lot of these scriptures over the last few days, a few services rather, but just to put these into our hearts and to hide them and to meditate upon them. But in John, the first chapter, and God's word's always clear cut. And it just comes and he says exactly what he meant. And he made sure that when this Bible got put together, though there's been it come, you know, maybe in the original Hebrew and down through the Greek and all the different languages it's been converted to, but it's still, if you research it back, you can still find that it's the meanings that was meant to be there still exist. It's not been taken away. Amen. But here in John, the first chapter, in the first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And then, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then that 14th verse says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I want you to think about that. In the beginning, He was the Word. And that Word had to become expressed. And all down, starting in Genesis, all down through, God's representatives begin to be expressed on this earth. And through them, He expressed every word that's been written into this Bible of what He said He would be, all that He would be, and all that He would expect of a people. And He made sure that all down through time that's been recorded. He's had someone on the scene to record and to bring His message to His people. And His clear-cut word has always been precise. It's always been exactly the way He said. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be trees and grass, and there was trees and grass. He said, let the waters divide, and they divided. And here sits the earth today. All of these things we can see that God has done at His command. And His word went forth, and it brought forth abundance in a reaction. And in a manifestation came forth from every word that's ever went forth. And as we can look at that, we can look back in Genesis, as our pastor was mentioning here just a couple services ago, and see where God gave His word to Eve. And He told even Adam in the garden, the day you eat of that tree, that day ye die. And He didn't mince words. It was clear cut. It was easily understood. A child could understand what had been said. And that's the way God is. God is so great, but yet God is so simple. But man has tried to confound God. Man intervenes and tries to make God's word to be something more over out here that we just seem to, it gets mixed, all mixed and jumbled together and all over the place. You know, I often think of, you take like a GPS, you know, you take out an old paper road map as it's using it for directions, and you look at that old paper road map, and it was mapped by somebody on foot and holding a pen and paper in their hand. And that person went where that map went. Now you take today's world, and we got all this new technology that's supposed to be better, and they take some computer and they feed all this information into there, and that GPS, you know, will turn you right into the middle of a cornfield. There ain't no road there. Why? Because it's been tinkered with. It wasn't truly mapped out by somebody that had experienced where that road went. They took somebody else's information and tried to make a way for it. But God lays out a clear-cut decision, and His roadmap is perfect. And He left it here for us, each and every one. And you know, as we find here in Romans, the 10th chapter, and the 13th to the 17th verse, Paul was speaking, and he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon Him and in whom they have believed not? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God had a reason for Paul to write that down. He had a reason to place that there. How shall they believe? How shall they believe in whom they've not heard of? And here God made a way that we would stand here tonight in this year 2020 with all the things that are happening and going on around us. The same God that created the heavens and the earth and put all of this in motion, who wrote this Bible way back here in the beginning, starting in Genesis and bringing it all the way up through, and all of these great men of old, as we can read about Moses and Noah and Daniel and the Hebrew children, we read all of that He's placed in here, that He was expressing Himself through these men of old. And of Job and all these things that we read, God was expressing His character, His image of who He was. And then we find it, when He came and born in a manger, and come, God Himself come to earth and hid Himself in a flesh body and walked among us and went to a cross to bear our sins. But all this time, he told and foretold it was going to happen. He expressed to the people it was going to happen exactly this way. A virgin shall conceive. All of that word was written before the time of the anointing time was there. And it was written and placed in this Bible. And we can go back now and look and say, that happened. That came to pass. We can see, we saw the manifestation of it. We may not have lived during that time, but I believe if we've got anything in our hearts that we can truly say, I believe God, we can look into this Bible and know that all of that has taken place. We can go to Israel and see the lands that have been written about, the tombs and all the different things. We know that God's word doesn't lie. It was exactly put together for a purpose. And now we stand here today, and we realize that there's many churches throughout the land. There's many doctrines and ideas. And you got all the people going to this church and going to that church. And we gather here as a group and gather in here around God's precious word. And we have a pastor who we appreciate, and he brings the word to us. But we gather here to hear God's word. But you know, I wouldn't have no confidence in my pastor if I couldn't take what he brought to me and go back into this precious scriptures and find that what he's been bringing me matches exactly what was written on these pages. And you know, as we hear many things. Some say you don't have to be baptized, just be sprinkled. We hear all these things, and there's no such thing as predestination. But God's word plainly is written out in black and white that it exists and that it's there. And he shows us the examples. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God had made sure that all of his word got put down just exactly the way he wanted it written. And Paul here in Ephesians, as we realize, God sent his prophets. And then there was other men that came along after the prophet had brought the word. And we realize that in this last age, we believe a prophet came. We believe God sent that last prophet to the Gentile age. And the word is being brought forth. And it's going to close out. But Paul here in Ephesians 4, listen as Paul says this: I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that has ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceit, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And as we see, God placed these special men at a time. And myself, as I attend this little church, I believe my pastor, when he comes to bring the word, I've got full confidence. Because God's word not only told us what he was looking for, but he said the pastors and the evangelists that he would send to watch over his flock, he told us what their qualifications would be. And he explained to us how they would feed their sheep and they would watch over their flock, and how that precious word, they would speak the truth in love. And they wouldn't mix their idea, because they know in Revelation it says, he that taketh to or add to the prophecies of this book, his part's going to be taken out. So you take that man, as God has laid it on his heart to be a minister, and he brings forth the word, and he gets in there and he's digging. He's watching over a people's souls. And he's not out for numbers. He's not there to gather large crowds of people. But he's there for one purpose: to make sure that God's word is left pure and unadulterated. And it's printed, produced exactly the way God wanted it brought. And God left it laying here. And he sent prophets at the time when things needed to be brought back, and the mysteries of God should be finished, and all these things that had been lost over through the down through the ages. And the hidden things of God would be all tidied up right before that great catching away of the bride. And the end of this world that we know is going to happen, and we see those prophecies in this book. If you read Malachi 4, there's a day that shall burn as an oven. It's coming, saints. We realize that. Whether you sit here as a member or you attend church someplace else or you're just happening to listen to this, we know that day is coming. And me sitting in this building is not going to save me. Me knowing my pastor that attends here is not going to save me. But only the true word of God is going to save me. Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that true new birth, and then see the results of that new birth. Take this body under subjection to every word of God, and to watch this word live back through me precisely the way God said it would do. And that goes for every word. And as our pastor has been laying it out here for us so great, how God places a desire in there. And our old desires are gone. And how it's God that does all of the work for us. But we've got to die out to ourselves first. And we've got to give God an opportunity to take that control. But God's word is laying here. He laid it out. This isn't my opinion. This isn't our pastor's opinion. God's word was precise. It's been laying here for how many years? Thousands of years. And God's got the same prescription. He didn't want it tampered with. He laid it out exactly the way he meant it. He didn't want women to cut their hair. He put it in there. He made sure it was written in there. He didn't want a woman to wear man's apparel in this day and age. Look back then. Did men and women look the same back then? No. Look today, the woman wants to look like the man. God's word knew what was coming down the line, and God made sure it was recorded clean back in the Old Testament. He made sure to place in there everything that a person would need in this day and age to be ready with a rapturing faith for a catching away of a bride. And God didn't mess around. He placed it all in here. Amen. As Peter put it here, and all of these precious words, and we've got to remember, everybody's got an opinion. And as I was saying, back then at the time of Elijah, was a great, who's right, who's wrong? Where's this lay? Who's got the truth? What am I supposed to do? But Elijah was standing there and he said, how long are you going to hang up between two opinions? You've seen all that your God has did. You saw where he brought you from. You saw all we've come through, and you're going to hold on an opinion that God's not big enough to lead us on? And to stand there and watch God consume that altar with fire that had been drenched seven times, and God come down in that fire. And they said, if you follow over the story, their heart shook for fear when they realized God expressed who he was. That same God is here today to you and I to prove to us by his precious word that the fire of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is as real today as it was then. And he will kill out that old soul if you'll give him an opportunity and give you a new desire and take your life in his hands and make you a new person. If you'll trust him at his word, not my word, but at God's word, what he had written here. If we'll take his prescription and believe him with all of our heart, the same God that created this heaven and earth and the earth that we stand on, he will do that work in your heart and life. If you will but reach out to him with a full surrender and say, Lord, I believe you will do keep and honor your word. And how we gather here, and even as we said here, we might be a well-seasoned warrior. We might have been traveling and with the saying we've been serving the Lord for many years. And as the precious word has been coming forth, do I line up that I have what I say I have? Yes, as we come through the ranks, it's been easy to say I'm well filled with the Spirit, as our brother mentioned Sunday. I'm well filled with the Spirit. I've got all of this. But what is my life showing? Because this, everything else that God's ever done, it vindicated itself. It didn't need nobody else. It showed up on its own accord that God did it. And that's the way it is in your heart, in my heart, and in our lives. God will vindicate if it's down in there. There won't be no fear. You will have peace that passes all understanding. You won't be a hothead and losing our temper all the time. All of these things God placed in his precious word is exactly and precise. But how long will we halt, maybe as an experienced person that knows all of this word, with an opinion, I believe I got it because so and so said. Or because some preacher said it was like this or it was like that. All the different things we've heard, I spoke in tongues and all these things. But we got to look back into God's word, and it shows us precisely where we're standing. If I'm a lady and I can't come under submission to my husband, it shows where I'm standing. And that's, are we going to hold on that opinion? That pastor don't know what he's talking about. The pastor doesn't. But God's word knows exactly what it said. And it's here to show us there is no black-white bird. It's one way or the other, and it's laid out here for us in plain page. And it's the same. It doesn't matter. If we don't match it, whether we attend service here or some other place, if we don't match this precious word that God has left, my part's missing. There is no heaven for me. There is no streets of gold. There is nothing waiting for me over there. But I've got to see that I am truly represented on the pages of this precious word. And those words live and manifest in my life. And it's got to be a reality. That's why God is so graciously taking the time to go back and to stress to us, get ready, time is fixing to wind up. And oh my, yeah, maybe now we're thinking maybe we're going to open all of our country back up. Things are going to go back the way it used to be. Wonderful. But God's still coming. And it could still be tomorrow. And am I ready to meet Him today? That's the question. And only you can answer that in your heart. I can't answer that for you, but you got to take this precious word and be able to look into our hearts and our lives, and we got to answer that question for ourselves. Here in 2 Peter, the first chapter, Peter putting us in remembrance here. Verse 10, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in present truth." Think about it. Think about how the word just keeps coming. Maybe we've heard it 10 years ago. We heard it 7 years ago. Maybe we heard it 5 years ago. Maybe we heard it last year, and now we're hearing it again this year. God's going to make sure that His men don't let it lay over here on a shelf, but to put it out there just the way God wanted it to be, that we would not be negligent to keep it in our remembrance, exactly what God is requiring of us and what's got to be in our life. We're not here to be churchgoers. We're not here just to be normal citizens of this United States. But I was sent here for a purpose. Each one, every one of us was sent here for a purpose. And God has drawn us and called us to this. And it's time that our lives, if it's not matching, it's time to make sure that it matches up. This is the proving time. It's time to see, am I ready? Where am I standing tonight? Am I willing to give God all that I am? Or do I want to hold back a portion of myself? Lord, you can have all of me, but I'm just not going to let that piece of my life go. I'm going to keep that. I want to keep this little bit of worldlyism. I want to keep this little bit of headship over my husband. I want to not quite come under subjection to that. Oh my, God knows all about us. But God's word is here to prove to us, and it reveals the cross. He has a way of just having it brought, and it never fails to show up and shine that great light into our hearts. He says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And who was the Holy Ghost? God in spirit form. He made sure that he watched over every word to make sure it got placed in there just right. And it's in its fullness, it's laying there. And he provided us a channel to gather ourselves together. And he anointed men to go in and to bring that word back to our remembrance. And to bring it back and to show us and to go this channel and that channel. To make sure that we could see the picture of exactly what God was trying to show us through His precious Word. And He laid it out so great for us and so right. But as we stand here and God's Word comes and it shines that great light down in our hearts and down in our lives, do we want to stand there and halt on that opinion? I don't know about that. I just don't know if that's right or not. Well, go pick this up and you read it for yourself. And as it says in Revelation, don't add to it and don't take from it, but say exactly what He said and see where you stand today. And it's going to tell us one way or the other. That's how simplicity God's Word is. He made sure to leave it here. Amen. Our prophet, when he was here, he was talking in a message he preached called Standing in the Gap, June 23rd, 1963, paragraph 19, if you'd like to find it and read it. He says, many of the people in churches being that this is an open tabernacle, it's never been a denomination. And God grant that it won't never, because we want this place where we have no law but love, no creed but Christ, and no textbook but the Bible. And then we do not have a membership, we have a fellowship one with another. For all people and all denominations, everybody is welcome. And we have a fellowship around the Word of God where everybody can feel welcome as they can be. In principle, we just love the Lord Jesus. We're not a scholarly group here. We're just plain people that try to read the Bible and put no interpretation to it outside of what it just says. And I believe that God will judge the world someday by the Bible. And He's going to judge the world. And if there isn't a standard to judge by, how will the people know what to do, see? It would be God. You cannot pin injustice to God. And God has got to have something for His standard that He judges the people by. And therefore, if He judges it by the Roman Catholic Church, the Greek Church, the Orthodox Catholic, and many of those are certainly lost. All of the rest of the world, if He judges it by the Greek Orthodox Catholic Church, not by a Roman Church, then the Roman Church and all the rest is lost. If He judges it by the Lutheran Church, and then the Presbyterians is gone. If He judged it by the Presbyterians, the Lutherans and the Baptists are gone. See? If He judges it by the Pentecostals, then all besides Pentecostals is gone. But He'll not judge it by any church, to my opinion. And we know He's not going to judge anybody by this little church. This is just a building we gather in that God so graciously give us together around His precious Word, and to rehearse what God has left us, and to study the Scriptures, and to sit under that precious anointing of the Holy Spirit and ask God to reveal His precious Word to me. I don't come here expecting my pastor to reveal all these great mysteries to me, to make my life change. I don't rely on him to make me different from who I am. But he only comes and he only presents what God, the Holy Spirit, is laying upon his heart. And then as we gather under the anointing of the Holy Spirit around his precious Word, God comes down and communes with each and every one. There's a small prick on the inside of your heart when that Word's coming forth and you're just sitting there thinking, boy, somebody's been talking to him about my life. No. God's Word is that bright and that crystal clear and that sharp that as it comes forth, it just has a way of rolling back all the curtains and shining way down in there to the depth of the core of our heart. And it shows us exactly who we are and what we are. And how with it comes blessings and joy and desires that even though it may come and oh my, when that great light shines, I look into my heart and my life and I see the depth of maybe the filth that still there's a little something over here and a little something over here that needs to be done away with. But oh, there's such a desire in my heart because who placed it there? God did. To see that done away with. Not to please man or to please a certain group of people, but there's a desire in our hearts to please God and to make sure that He is happy. And that as I walk throughout the day, I feel that sweetness of the Holy Spirit walking with me. And I know that He's content to be with me, for He dwells within us. And oh my, how that's the peace that we have, is knowing that no matter what the situation, He's right there. I don't have to go hunt for Him. I don't have to get down and have a prayer meeting. He's right there on the scene. And all I got to do is whisper His name and He's there. But the good part is I know He knew the step I would take before I would take it. And He knows what's laying right in front of me before I ever get there. Yes. Oh, I like to trust a God like that. Amen. Amen. But He'll not judge it by any church, to my opinion, because there's too much differences and too much confusion. But He'll judge it, the Bible says. He'll judge the world by Jesus Christ. And we read you the scripture that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now that's scriptural. The Bible said in the beginning, as I just quoted, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Word, and this is Christ in letter form. And in the book of the Apocalypse to the Catholic, Revelation to the Protestant in the 22nd chapter, when this book was finished, Jesus himself said, if any man will take one word from this book or add one to it, the same, his part, will be taken from the book of life. So the reason we believe this and stay just exactly nothing, he can do nothing that isn't he hasn't written here. And we know that. But as long as we just stay with that, what he has wrote, that'll be fine. And that's where I rest my soul, is knowing that each thing, as we gather into our buildings around God's Word and we begin to study the Scripture and we begin to hear God speak to us, but as we can go back and pick this up and begin to study and read it for ourselves, oh my, how it brings an assurance. Yes. And then as I take him at his word and follow his instructions, how he takes our lives in his hands and begins to mold us, and then how our lives begin to become the image that he portrayed through these precious words. And oh my, how that brings an assurance to our hearts and to our lives, that I know that if this body be dissolved, there's one already waiting on us. And oh my, how that's the assurance we want to have today. Not tomorrow, but I want to look into God's precious word and to be able to take it and weigh it as it comes forth. And as I see that great light shining, I want to sit there and say, let it be to me, Lord, according to thy word. And let him have that full sway. But oh, what if it comes and it shows me, oh, maybe I need to humble myself down and maybe I'm going to have to go this route, or I might have to do this. Am I willing not to cave to some man, not to cave to some church to get my name on the book, because there ain't one to put your name on, but almighty, but to get your name into this book, that Jesus Christ, his life would be projected through you. But almighty, will we halt between an opinion? Will we sit here under God's precious word? And maybe if we've come and gathered here for many years, or maybe we've not been coming very long, but we see God's word so plainly pointed out to us. But will I sit there and make excuses for myself? And, oh, it can't be that. It can't be that. But God's word's plain cut decisions laying before us. Are we weighing ourselves in the balance and measuring ourselves up by God's word? Not by what we think, but by what God has told us to say in his precious word. Oh, my saints, a lot to think about. Amen. You said, come to the instruments, if you would, please. But in Hebrews 13, chapter, Paul speaking, he said, but remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. For Jesus said, behold, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. And amen, I can rest my soul assured that what he told me here and what he put into place back there is held true all the way down to my day. And the word that's laying here fresh for me today has changed my life and made me who I am and is still changing me. Every day a new word, the word comes, and every time you gather around, there's another piece changed. Something else drawn closer. A closer walk with him as he's got us by the hand. As we sing that little chorus, Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, every day, don't let go of me, Lord. Without you, I can do nothing. But all through him, I can do all things. Amen. I have no source of strength in myself. But all I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, my Paul, what a great testimony he had. And oh, may our lives be a replacement today. In this age that we live, those brothers and sisters that was in this Bible have had their day. God had used them and expressed to the people of their day and their time that he was alive and he was living. And he had the preeminence of a people then that he could show forth, that he got the full glory out of it. And we're still reading about it today. What about my life today? Has it give God glory? Could he say, have you considered my servant down there? Have you took a look at him, upright, as the scriptures recorded about you, an upright and just man? Oh, my, may God be able to find, may we find favor in his sight. And oh, may our lives be a true reflection of every word he's left for us. Amen. And if it's not that, let's run while there's time, because he's a rewarder of them that will diligently seek him. And if we'll seek first the kingdom, all these other things he'll add unto us. But oh my, put your confidence in his word. Not in any man, not in anything, but oh, look back in here and ask God, Lord, open my heart. As whoever's reading it and renewing it, Lord, open my heart to the true revelation, Lord, that lays in your precious word. Oh my, but God does send men to make sure that he's got a special few that he sent to make sure that that word was brought in its fullness, to keep it clean, to keep it pure, and not to mix it with any idea. But here's what God said, and this is what we must line up with. Amen. And that's the confidence I have in my God. I know for sure that he's sent men to do that. And by God's grace, I'll fulfill my part of not forsaking the assembling of myself together around his precious word to make sure that I get my portion of what God's got for me. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Pray a little something to stir your heart and to make you go back and maybe read some of those things. And I think it'll be good and to meditate upon that. But God is leading and God is calling. If there's something drawn on your inside of your heart and you've come this far, God is going to take you the rest of the way. If you'll just yield and give up maybe your stubborn pride, maybe a little bit of your, might cost you some humility, might have to change the way you thought about some things, maybe take back some words you might have said one time. But oh, God is a God that delights in changing and making differences in people's lives. And I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. Amen. I thank God for his love and grace. Amen. Let's just try to sing that little chorus, I Won't Walk Without Jesus, if we could. Amen. I won't walk without Jesus. I won't talk without Jesus. I refuse to live one day as before. I won't go without Jesus, just ain't so. Without Jesus, everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. Amen. Is that your desire? Amen. Pray God make it real. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we've truly enjoyed being here, Lord. Lord, your precious word is spirit and it is life. And Lord, you didn't leave us in the dark wandering. As we see the darkness of this age caving in around us, Lord, in the chaos and the filth and the corruptness, Lord. And as we can look into the land and you can't trust no one. You don't know if what they're telling you in the news is right. You don't know if your doctor knows what he's talking about. You don't know for sure, Lord. You have no confidence. But Lord, we stand here tonight with a true confidence in our heart that you knew exactly what you were talking about. And Lord, we can look back and see you've made it work out all the way down through. And Lord, we stand here tonight with this confidence, knowing that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, Lord. We don't know what's going to happen if you should tarry a year from now. But Lord, we know it's in your plan and in your hands. And we rest assured knowing, Lord, that you know what I have need of. And Lord, everyone that's under the sound of my voice, you know what they have need of. And Lord, we ask that you would meet our needs according to the things we truly have need of, Lord, and not what we think we need. But Lord, take your precious word and search us out. And Lord, let us come to that conclusion. Lord, how long will I make excuses for something maybe I've got in my life, Lord? How long will I continue to battle this, Lord, or let that go when the simple truth, Lord, is if I would just surrender it to you and ask you, Lord, to make the difference, no matter, it would all work out exactly the way you said it would. And Lord, we've got a full trust in you. We thank you for the opportunity we've had together here, Lord, and we just pray that you'll bless each and every one. Those that may still be sick, Lord, raise them up. And Lord, if it should be your will, and it looks like maybe soon we can gather here again, Lord, we pray that you'll bless it. And Lord, make the way for it, we pray. And we'll never fail to see that you receive all the glory and the honor for it all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful. Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus, I Love Him, before we go. Amen. Just worship him. I love him. To the next time. Amen. You're dismissed.